You thought you were a good stand, you could say, in the next phase. So it's a Sunday night event. It's a Sunday night event. And it's nice to do, of course, it's nice anyway to consider from time to time how we're doing, what are we doing, what should we improve, any particular ways we could improve, like this, and kind of take stock, you could say, evaluate how I've been doing and how to develop things further. So you can also do like that. Of course, it can be done any time, but this is a sort of a very specific time that it seems. So it's a good idea to try and do like that individually and collectively. I was thinking collectively here in Phoenix, you have this magnificent temple, beautiful temple, and beautiful hall down beneath. The temple room is bigger than rather than a temple room. It is, I'm not sure how much bigger, but it's something like 15% bigger. But it's a little substantial how much bigger it is. And of course, the hall downstairs is rather than we don't have any hall at all. We just have a temple room, which is a bit smaller than us. So, we almost desperately need a hall. But here we have one. We've already got first class facility here for the service of Srila Prabhupada and for as a type of a base or headquarters for developing the Krishna consciousness movement in Phoenix and just up the North Coast. It's really amazing. And I think many of you know, to some degree, some of you know very well, what it took to get this temple. I remember when this was just a piece of ground. I remember when Surat Balaji, wasn't it? Got it all, was in the process of getting it, and it was torn. And we got it, and it sat here for a while, for some years. But I remember we were at Mother Gaur Priya's house. She invited us over for the prasada, and Pranada Prabhu was there. And at the end of everything, Pranada Prabhu came up to me, I remember very vividly, and said, "No, we've got the land, we've got to do something, we've really got to do something." So, under his leadership, something has been done. And we're sitting here right now, and it's just a magnificent facility. Very spacious, but it's very nicely put together, and very nice atmosphere. And that's really wonderful. And it's not really about, it's not about actually, it's just, and now we've got it, let's utilize it further. We're already utilizing it, of course. Here we are utilizing it, and in so many programs going on. And it's great, but we can do more. And the thing about doing more, another thing is about doing more, believe that doing more to spread Christian consciousness, to develop Christian consciousness, one of the things that it benefits the people around. It benefits them so much. And in some cases, just in subtle ways, which you may not see so much, but they become influenced. And in other cases, in not subtle ways, in very clear and obvious ways, people become affected. People become affected. Just before we met, just you know, over the last couple of hours, more or less, but this afternoon, on and off, I've been reading the book by Shamsuddin. She was chasing rhinos with a smile. It's worth reading. It's quite a book, actually. And I'm right now reading the part where I had gone to England and they're reaching out, meeting people, and they're all people. In those days, all, just all young people. They met the Beatles, first of all, George Harrison. And I was just reading before we met how George Harrison brought Shamsuddin over and introduced him to the whole of the Beatles. And Shamsuddin spent hours with them, and they were questioning. And those people in those days, they, you know, being a little sort of removed in South Africa and within the government and how they restricted things in those days, but even our crew and I know vividly, almost too vividly, who the Beatles were. My gosh. They were like demigods. I mean, they were just, it was another world. They were amongst the youngest people, the biggest people in the whole world by far. It was amazing. And Marcus's arrangement of Prabhupada's inspiration shows that there was an enthusiasm. Intelligence. He contacted them, and they contacted many people. And I was reading how, in different newspapers and journals and whatnot of the time, almost every day, at least every week, and usually a few times every week, there were articles about Hare Krishna. And 90% of them were very favorable, extremely favorable. And it was when Krishna consciousness exploded there. So I was thinking as we're driving over that here in Phoenix, because a special effort was made, he and I and a group of others were involved also, really, the very extending themselves. We got the temple and the wall, and it's just fantastic. And it's not that, it's simply, and now what? So now what? And even if it takes us a while, it's taken a while since the event to really gear up preaching wise. Some preaching is going on. But to really gear up, you know, it took us a while to gear up and start the construction. The land was just sitting for some years, I forget how many, but it was, I think, several years or some reasonable number of years before we actually did something. And the devotees really surrendered to it. And here it is. So I was sitting in this vagina. Wouldn't it be nice? And wouldn't now just be the right time to as energy was focused and effort was made, and the devotees extended themselves at that time to create the temple, it would be nice now to kind of harness the same type of energy and the inspiration and determination to reach out, to the people, first of all, in our feelings. Charity begins at home. But we're to reach out up the north coast and inland and around and so on. And really start to develop the beginning of a Christian consciousness on a much bigger scale than is going on, even though something is going on. And what's going on is nice. But Srila Prabhupada was asked once, do you have any problems? And Srila Prabhupada began answering by saying, no, I have no problems. But he said, actually, I have one problem. My problem is, I cannot think small. You can't live a mind like that. People who not only think big, but cannot think small, just as I'm able to think small. Minds just don't function in that way. And when the heart is, or as the heart becomes more and more deeply affected and influenced and touched and moved by Krishna consciousness in different ways, then Srila Prabhupada is such an example like that. Then they have inspiration and drive to do more develops. It's just a natural part of becoming more Christian conscious. But then it goes beyond that into real inspiration and empowerment to do things to spread Christian consciousness, which one not only has never done before, but even things which one had not thought of doing more, had not thought that one could do more. Christian consciousness is so dynamic, it's just so incredibly, even unlimitedly dynamic. All we have to do is tune in. It's there. It's already there within our hearts. And it's actually already there within the hearts of every person in Phoenix. And it's even in the heart of every living entity. But we want us to tune in. To really start bringing out. And when it starts coming out, then, because we are conditioned by so many years of the material life, even lifetimes, and the thinking in certain terms, and the thinking what's possible and what's not possible, and practical and impractical, and so on. So this way our thinking processes are sort of habituated to the limitation and just accepting the limitation as being normal. But when one tunes in, then as the music starts flowing from within the heart because it's already there, Krishna's mercy, then gosh, you may not believe what you're doing yourself. Because it's not just the conditioned you're used to, It's more a spiritual union. The eternal sentence of the moment, empowered by the moment, recipient of the mercy of the moment, and it really flows, and all sorts of amazing things. Over the years, as time has begun, all sorts of amazing things have happened. And amazing things will happen, including in our very own personal lives. We just sort of had to tune in. I was in a class of Satchitananda Maharaj's some years ago, actually, and he told an interesting story about tuning in, which I've told before, but I haven't told for a long time here at least in our call. Let me tell you that story. I find it very interesting. That particularly in America, in the, I think, late 20s or so, you know, a long time ago, 90 years ago, there was what they called the Great Depression. The financial system collapsed, and just about every business collapsed, and the lives of just about every person just collapsed. It was a fantastic social phenomenon. And among many other things, one thing that happened was, because all the businesses, or so many of the businesses that had gone bankrupt and just dissolved into nothing, it was extremely difficult for the people to get a job. And then that way earn money, and then that way keep alive, and then that way keep their families alive. It became extremely difficult, phenomenal actually. Even South Africa now, I believe the unemployment rate of maybe around 30% or something. It's nothing compared to what it was. There was like 90% unemployment or more than 90%, and just poverty. So whenever there was a job available, didn't matter what it was, anything, at least 500 people would be there. And the people would say anything to sort of bluff their way to getting their job. If it was some specialized work, they didn't know how to do it, but they just had a shop over and try and pop their way through. I remember when we were building the temple, right around the temple, the chancellor, often we would be casual laborers for a day or 2 days just to do a couple of things. Okay. this, you had to be tuned in. If you weren't tuned in, it just went over your head or under your head or around your head or just out the window or whatever. You had to be tuned in. So the Christian consciousness, we have to be tuned in, or we have to try to become tuned in to Krishna. Because Krishna is there. Krishna is within our hearts. Krishna is within every atom. Krishna is everywhere. And Krishna is just waiting for us. And he's not just waiting for us to approach him. He's giving us opportunities. He's giving us opportunities. There's a very nice description in Bhagavad Gita, which is really worth reading if you haven't read it. But in the second part, the story of Gopikumar is on its way back to Godhead. And he's stopping off here and there on his way, sort of, something like that. And so en route, he stops off at Vaikuntha. And then he meets Lord Narayan face to face, and they have a conversation. And Lord Narayan says to Gopikumar that I am so happy to see you. I'm just so happy that you have finally come here. Finally. After a long time, many lifetimes, I'm just so happy. Welcome. And he tells Gopikumar, I have been watching you for many lifetimes. I have been watching you carefully, and I have been thinking, when is it coming back? When is it coming to me? And I tried to make different arrangements, but it was not happening. You were not coming. In one lifetime, I thought, maybe in this lifetime, you will come back to me. And I tried to help. But in that lifetime, you were sure you didn't come back to me. And then you were born in the next lifetime, and I thought, maybe in this lifetime. And Lord Ryan says that this was just going on, lifetime after lifetime. And he says, I became so sort of intensely concerned and anxious about you and your coming back to Godhead. And he says, I was practically dancing like a fool. When is he going to come back? And then Lord Narayana says that eventually I thought I'll just bring him back. Legal or not, I'm just going to take him back. I don't care if he's qualified or not care. I'm just going to take him back. But then Lord Narayana tells God, but I was thinking like that, I was going to do it. But then I thought, no, I can't do it. Because it would be against the principles of Dharma. Because you have to become at least reasonably qualified to be able to do that to Godhead. So it would be against the principles of Dharma. And I am the Lord of Dharma. And I cannot break these laws, these rules, these standards. So, but now you have come. Now you've come, I'm so happy. So my best point in just mentioning that is that Krishna really wants us to come back. One of the devotees was asking me to the version of the very clearly. Was asking me just immediately before that, what does it mean that Krishna becomes displeased Christian become, he was actually asking, how did a Christian become this because Krishna, like the guy he was, Krishna's Atmana. He's self-satisfied, he's fully satisfied, he has no names. So how could such a person become displeased? And we suggested one thing. I mean, there are different reasons why we might become displeased. For example, if you or we or someone, particularly a devotee, if a devotee commits offenses against other devotees, and particularly that kind of nasty offenses, well, Krishna doesn't like that. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada mentions that if the devotee becomes proud, actually Prabhupada says that Krishna can tolerate practically any fault in his devotee. He can tolerate it. But there is one fault that he doesn't tolerate. And that is the devotee becomes proud. And Prabhupada explains there that Krishna says that if my devotee becomes proud, I change my attitude towards him. And I treat him, I deal with him in such ways to drive the pride out of him or her. Yes, so. So, yeah, Krishna physically committed offenses, particularly, I mean, many offenses there, but particularly, we know that off the rails and really make some offenses to other devotees or the spiritual master, Krishna can become displeased. Krishna will become displeased. But another thing is that if Krishna sees that a devotee could do better, could do more, and not just in an ultimate sense, but in an immediate sense, that now, today, the devotee is kind of holding back, really holding back in Krishna consciousness, or going a bit off track, and just not doing his or her place in Krishna consciousness, Krishna may become displeased in the sense that, come on, you can do better than this. You can do better than this. You have done better than this. And you can do better than this. So come on. Krishna may become displeased in that sense. In the sense of sort of regretting or lamenting it at all. But why are you not doing better? Because you can, because perhaps you have. And not like, ultimately you're a pure devotee, and a pure devotee can make the whole world Krishna conscious, but just in terms of what you're doing on a regular basis. So Krishna may be kind of displeased in the sense of just. So the regret in a bit. Why is my devotee not doing more when he or she could do more? So now would be a nice time coming to the end of 2017. Now would be a really nice time to try and seriously consider how we individually, each one of you as an identity follower of Prabhupada, how we individually could do more to spread Krishna consciousness, and how we collectively could do more. Because I'm sure we could do a lot more. I'm sure we could do a lot more. And I was in Doha, Qatar, a year or two ago. And he was coming back to the movie theater. It was this sort of very basic, prominent, specific anniversary time. And in the movies there, a couple of the devotees who were heads of Bhakti British and Ananta, they told me that for Prabhupada's 50th, we had resolved, it was just like two or three of them, we had resolved, we were going to establish 50 Bhakti Parishioners and Ananta. Because it's from the past 50 years. Because during this year, they already had, I think, that they had 10 or something along those lines. And they did it. They did it. And Doha, Qatar, you know, first of all, it's an Arab Muslim country, and it's a fanatical Muslim country, actually. So, other than Saudi Arabia, it's the worst. And the police had to do everything totally under the you wouldn't believe it. But they had to come over the back of the British or the masters. They had to park around the block so that it doesn't look like there's a gathering in the house. And then they have to walk around the block. Because isn't the authority see there's a gathering? And you don't know what is the gathering. Then call it, and then people could just be deported. So despite that, between two or three devotees, the leaders of the government, they did it. Not bad, yes. So, you'd be surprised what you can do when Krishna works through you. You'd be surprised what you can do when Krishna works through you. Because then it's Krishna's mercy flowing and not just our silly little brains and preconceptions and all that sort of thing. So yeah, some ideas. And we should really try to get dynamically like that. Srila Prabhupada said that the pastors came to America and he said, I did not wait for you to invite me. And I just came. Prabhupada pushed. Yeah. You didn't wait yourself to contact him and say, please come. There are arranged programs that we've got a nice living facility and we'll finance you and all that. Prabhupada just take one man show. But because he was such a sincere devotee, you know, on this sort of unprecedented level of Christian consciousness, so much mercy flowed. That influenced the whole world. And then, like I said, I was reading about in 4 months in London what they did. And it was sort of London was buzzing with Hare Krishna. Yeah. And we all get sort of coming up in our old preconceptions and misconceptions and comfort zones and conceptions of what a discomfort is going to be, you know, like going out to the preaching hall. You know, this is a discomfort zone. But once you get into it, the mercy starts flowing. Wow. It just becomes like something you've not experienced before. Just so wonderful. And so rich. So spiritually rich. So yeah, we should try to be very broad-minded and broad-hearted and not narrow-minded and narrow-hearted. So Brahma in one sense literally means broad-minded. more than that, other than that, creeper means narrow blanket, sort of closed hat like that. I wanted to tell you about, I wanted to close by telling you a little story before Ian and I, who takes us all to the river. I wanted to tell you a little story I heard a while ago, a few years ago, but I forgot. But I just came across it a few weeks ago, and it's quite a good one, about a creeper man. And all we don't want to be like. It's a sort of little dramatic exercise. And he was a devotee many years ago in India, and he was highly knowledgeable, but he had a sort of nasty, cranky sort of streak in his heart. He was a very difficult person, temperamental, and upset too quickly and too easily. And even though he was very good at presenting Christian consciousness, but sometimes as a builder, he just fly off the handle. So anyway, but still, he was well known for being an excellent presenter. So one village elders came and invited him. Please come and give a class in our village. We really want to hear from you. So, hearing, he wasn't a little bit of a touchy show, but hearing. So he came, and he sat down on stage. He sat down, and he looked around. And so, and then he said, so, you. You know what I'm going to talk about, yeah?
No! That's my little thought for this evening.
This sea, whilst being individually and collectively, could do more than what we are doing now to involve people in Krishna consciousness. And it doesn't have to be a big philosopher, expert speaker, dynamic this or that. You could just be sort of ordinary devotee. But if you try like this to help in some way with the spread of Krishna consciousness, you will find people become Krishna conscious and you become Krishna conscious in extraordinary and wonderful ways, which make a difference, big difference compared to how old we may be right now having Krishna.